Hi, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Cami.
And this is The Deeply Rooted Homeschool. The heart behind this podcast is to encourage and equip you as you start or continue your homeschool journey. If you are considering homeschooling or are new to homeschooling, we created this podcast with you in mind to answer common questions. If you're just finding us, you'll want to go back and catch up on our past episodes. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us today on the Deeply Rooted Homeschool. Today, we are actually going to be doing a panel discussion. And this is something that we've had on our hearts since the very beginning of this podcast. It's always been on our ideas list to do a panel episode and pull in a bunch of moms that we know that have a lot of things to say. And this week, we just decided it was time. And so we actually threw out on social media a question basically saying, what are some of your hesitations about homeschooling? I would love to homeschool, but finish the sentence. And when we started getting responses, it was staggering to us how many people struggled with different things and different insecurities and hesitations related to homeschooling. So we pulled together some of our friends to do a panel episode for you guys. And I want you to know that we actually wrote down every single response that we got and we listed it on a marker board in this room. And we went around and answered every single response that we got. So we're about to jump into that. It's going to sound a little different than our normal format. You'll probably hear a lot more voices and probably a little bit more background noise, but we are so excited to share what we talked about at this panel with you guys. So let's just jump in. The very first question that we have is probably one of the most common things that we hear as homeschool moms. I would love to homeschool, but what about socialization? So Sam, do you have an answer for us?
Okay. I have heard this a lot. And I think first you have to think about, what are they really asking? And they're really asking, are you okay with your kids turning out nerdy and awkward? And so the truth is, if I'm nerdy and awkward, my kids are going to be nerdy and awkward, whether I public school them or homeschool them. So I don't think we hear this question as much as we used to, though. I think that people are more used to homeschooling now and they see homeschoolers out and about and involved in different things. I mean, we are almost never home. During the day, we have sports we do. We're involved in our church and have church friends and art class, all different kinds of things. My kids do piano. And so really, if you're going to worry about something, you probably ought to worry that my kids aren't getting enough academics in homeschool because we do plenty of socializing. So a couple of ways I can answer this. And the first one is that what I just said, that my kids are spending plenty of time with other kids and we stay so busy. So, but the next thing I want to say is really when you're asking about socializing, if you are legitimately concerned about it, then you're worried that maybe my kids won't learn how to act in public. You know, how are they going to learn those values and attitudes and behaviors that normally happen in society? And my answer to that is just, I don't want my kids learning that from their peers. I don't want my first grader learning from first graders how to act in the world. And I don't want my fifth grader or 10th grader learning from their peers how to act. You know, I want them learning from me, and I can encourage them and equip them. And then I can, you know, if I need to correct something, I can easily do that. So I just have the opportunity to do that when they are with me more. Also for us, we have a big family. So my husband and I have 5 kids and we homeschool. We've always homeschooled. We came from public school, so we were in public school as children, but we chose to homeschool our kids from the beginning. And so having 5 kids at home, it's easy for us to have lots of opportunities for our kids to learn compassion and sharing and patience, you know. So in that respect, my kids get a lot of that. Now, there are lots of homeschoolers that have 1 child or 2 children, and they don't have kind of the same opportunities. But still, the parent is there with them all the time and can kind of coach them on things. And that's just one of the benefits, I think, to homeschooling and having my kids with me pretty much all the time. You know, we interact with adults, we interact with kids. So, and then the other thing I would say is, so there's a lot of negative socialization when kids are together. You know, there might be snobby kids or mean kids or bullies, and, or you may not interact with kids on your social level, right? So, but when you get out in the world, that's not really a thing. Like, you have to work with the people you work with, and it doesn't matter if they're older than you or younger than you. But in school, it's just not really a perfect world either, because you're only with kids of your age group, all the kids born in your same year, and that's it. And you may kind of envy the older kids and dislike the younger kids, you know, and then you take those attitudes home, and that's not what we want for our home lives. So I would just argue that the socialization at school is not really what we're wanting for our kids. I know there are great teachers that help mentor kids and help with that socialization, but in the end, I feel like I'm the best for that for my kids. So,
but will my kids resent me for keeping them home, keeping them away from public school?
So this is Amy, and I have three children that range from ages 7 to 12, and we have always homeschooled. So this is my 7th year of homeschooling. I'm looking around the room because I obviously can't calculate. Oh, she's going into 7th grade. Yes, okay, since my 8th year of homeschooling. Thank you very much. And so my response to will they resent being homeschooled and not going into a brick-and-mortar school would be, if you're thinking about trying it, you don't have to make a lifetime commitment of homeschooling. You can try it. And we've had friends that have homeschooled, and then their children wanted, or a child wanted to try public school. They've gone to public school. They've come back to homeschool, but they did give them that opportunity because, you know, parents didn't want it to them to miss if that's what they wanted to try. I ask my two oldest kids every year, do you want to continue doing this, or do you want to try public school? I want to continue homeschooling them, but if they were really frustrated or wanted to go try public school, I would say, let's give it a shot. So I would just say, you can try it. You can try it for 6 months, a semester. I'd say give it a little longer than that. You know, if you really want to make a go of it, try it for a year. But they're most likely not going to resent you, and you're going to figure out a routine. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. That's not the path God has you on at that point. And that's okay.
Okay, Kristen, would you want to add to that?
Sure. I'm Kristen. I have 10 children. I have homeschooled for about 18 years now. My oldest child is 22. And then I have a 20-year-old, 19-year-old, 16, 14, 12, one in heaven. He would be 5. And then I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-month-old. And I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But anyhow, yes, as far as your children, the possibility of them resenting you or resenting being homeschooled, you know, the way I have had to approach it was as they got to a certain age, generally around 12 years old, give or take a year or two, something like that. For some families or kids, it may be older. I like to have a conversation with them at the end of each year and just kind of evaluate where we are, where we're going, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, this past year, I actually had two of my children, my 12-year-old, my 14-year-old, who were very adamant about wanting to go to public school. And they have a couple of older brothers, one of them who has been homeschooled throughout but has participated in some extracurricular activities. And they saw how he benefited from that. And I think they were thinking, hey, I want a part of that too. But then in addition to that, just wanting to try the whole public school experience. That was hard for me as a mom because I have been committed to homeschooling for so long and wanted to continue that. But we had hit a point in our journey where our relationship was possibly, you might say, suffering, or we were really butting heads over part of our education, the education part of homeschooling. And I finally decided, okay, they're old enough that I think they need to be involved in the conversation. I think they need to not necessarily be the one to make the decision about their education, but definitely be involved in that conversation. And, you know, I would encourage homeschooling parents abroad just to don't be afraid to have those conversations with your children. It's okay to talk about the hard things and say, you know, why do you want to do this? And here's why I want you to do this. And so we're going to try, let them try public school for at least maybe this year. They may hate it. They may decide, nope, this is not for me. I'm coming home. Or they may love it. Who knows? I don't know. But I think it's okay to allow your children, especially as they get older, just to be involved in that conversation. Not, like I said, not necessarily making the decision. Mom and dad, I think, should have the final say, but definitely involve them in that decision. So
Kristen, I know that you have shared with us in the past that you have at least one child that has some special needs. And so would you mind to talk to the question that says, I would love to homeschool, but my child has special needs and needs special services?
Well, like you said, I'm Kristen. My child, who actually just graduated high school this year, he is my special needs child. He has a medical condition that we knew early on could possibly cause some learning disabilities. We were kind of expecting that. But I wasn't expecting what I really got when we started phonics, just simple, basic phonics that had worked with my other children. I start working with him, and every day it was like a clean slate. It was like everything was brand new. He'd never seen these letters before, had no clue what they were, what the sounds made. But I just kept persisting. I thought, okay, eventually it's just going to click. It's just going to click. And by the time he was 8 years old, I was going, okay, no, this is not going to click. And I'm going to lose my mind and he's going to lose his mind. Because he's actually a very patient child. Thank you, Lord. But he couldn't get it. And so I knew at that point that I really needed help. You know, I was determined to homeschool. I really was committed to that. But I knew I needed someone somewhere to jump in there and help me. So I first talked to our pediatrician, which I would encourage you, go ahead and use your doctor, a pediatrician, whomever you use, as a source. It's okay. Generally, they know if your child has some sort of learning disabilities or something like that. They're probably already going to know that. Request from them some kind of help, and they can often point you in the right direction. For us, I mentioned it to the pediatrician. He said, absolutely, we need to get him evaluated. I said, okay, how do we do that? So he gave us a referral to a place. Now, it's going to vary from where you live, but your doctor can know where to refer you to. But he referred us to a place that did pediatric evaluations and basically looked at the full spectrum, you know, just to see what was going on. And when we came out of the evaluation, he had clearly had dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and also a lower IQ than average. Not significantly lower, but slightly lower. But these were, like I said, things that I knew we could possibly face. I just wasn't prepared for how to handle them. So from there, I was still kind of at a loss for what to do. One, I thought, well, okay, here's all these labels, but now what do I do? I'm not a professional. I'm not trained as an educator other than a music teacher, but that doesn't help much. So I contacted our state homeschool office. For us, it's the Education Alliance, but it could have a different title from whatever state you live in. Basically, they're the office that they do lobbying for homeschooling. They keep homeschoolers up to date on the laws and just all kinds of things along that line. But they were super helpful in that they said, we can't help you, but we know who can. And so they pointed me to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And I thought that was really odd because I thought, well, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, I don't need a lawyer. I just need someone to help me teach my kid to read. But when I contacted the HSLDA, they said, yes, we can help you. We have someone who handles that very thing. And they have a special needs coordinator there. Now, the lady that I spoke to there, Diane Kraft, I'm pretty sure she's retired now and there's someone else in her place. But they still have someone there who that's their job. They talk to parents who have kids with special needs and they can put you in touch with resources. We ended up doing some occupational therapy to help with the dysgraphia, and that was very helpful. But the biggest thing that helped more than anything was Diane Kraft had developed her own curriculum for special needs kids. She had been a special education teacher for many, many years, and she had developed her own curriculum to help children with special needs. And we literally, it was just like an overnight change. We purchased the curriculum, started using it, and right away, it was all of a sudden, I was like, oh, he gets it. It sticks. He can read, you know? And I really thought, I thought I would never see that day. But anyhow, he started reading, was able to write, just so many things that I thought he may never be able to do. But fast forward a few years, we were even able to get him involved in some extracurricular activities through the public school. He happens to be a really good athlete, and that just was a good fit for him, and he did really well participating in that, but still continuing his home education at home. I'll also say this, just speaking particularly to special needs children, don't be afraid to ask for help. Years ago, I know in our state, the law, it was actually against the law to homeschool a child who had special needs. It's not that way anymore, thankfully, but anyhow, a lot of parents were afraid to let anyone know that they had a child with special needs. And don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. There are a lot of resources available that weren't there, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And there are just so many things. You don't even have to go through the public school. If you don't want to, you can. They have things available to help you. But I'll let somebody else elaborate on that. But, don't be afraid to ask for help, even whether it's another homeschooling parent. I even in his teenage years, high school years, my mother came alongside and started working with him more one-on-one because he does need more one-on-one work. He benefits from that much better. And I had other kids, obviously, that needed mom and needed my attention. So don't be afraid just to ask for help whenever you need it. And the Lord will provide. He will. And I just want to add to that, under federal law, all school districts are required to offer services to special needs children, whether they're in public school or homeschooled. They get tax dollars for that. So do not be afraid to ask. Contact your local school district and let them know that you want to seek help in that area, and they will do testing. They'll do evaluating there at the school, and they can do they are required to assist your child, however that may be needed.
Okay, Kristen, I love that. And what I'm hearing from that is all of that background work, all of that behind the scenes work that you did to make sure that your child succeeded. I'm trying not to get emotional. But one of the questions that I get all the time is, or, you know, one of these statements is, I would love to homeschool, but I'm not a teacher. I'm not a formal educator. I'm not trained for this. And one of the things I wish I could just crawl inside their hearts and their minds and just help them understand that that's not the most important piece. Because exactly what you're explaining, you're the best teacher for them. You know your children better than anyone. You love them more than anyone, and you will do whatever it takes to make them thrive. I mean, you just listed all of these steps that you took. And this was how many years ago?
Well, he just graduated high school, and he just turned 19. So, I mean, this was a long time ago. Yeah,
and all the resources that we have now. And one of the important pieces is what you really need to teach your children is loving them and being willing to help them learn. You're not doing it on your own. It's not your own intelligence. You don't know, you know, I wouldn't know how to teach a child that is autistic or has different abilities, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make the calls. I'm going to do the things. And anyway, it's not your own intelligence that you're teaching them from. You're using curriculums, you're using books and things like that. So I love everything that you just said. And I feel like you answer two questions with that, because you don't have to be a formal educator.
Okay. As a matter of fact, sometimes, and I know you can answer this because you were trained as a formal educator, sometimes that works against you.
Exactly. There's so many things I personally had to unlearn.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I had to go in and it had to mimic public school. Mm-hmm. And what I really found out was that I was doing my child, the one at the time, a disservice by trying to do all of these things the way I was trained. I was missing several key pieces. So, yes, for sure.
Okay, so that brings us to an interesting point, and this is something that we get asked a lot as well, is what about some of those harder subjects when you get into the upper levels and you're talking about algebra or chemistry or biology? A lot of parents don't feel equipped to teach their children those things, even if they are a trained teacher. Those are tricky things to teach. So does anybody have a response to that? Allison?
I'm Alice. I have 4 kids ranging in age from 3 to 12. And I've been homeschooling 8 years. I am not an educator. I actually grew up in a family of educators. All of my siblings are educators, and I watched my mom teach and said, I will never do that. And I think it's funny that I'm homeschooling now. But I decided after 3rd grade, I did not want to teach math anymore to my kids. It was not an enjoyable experience for me or them. And there are resources. There's DVDs you can get. There's Nicole, the math lady, who I personally really like. And so if there's subjects that you just don't feel comfortable with, you can outsource those. There are also co-ops that do trading with different subjects. And you could find a friend that, if you love reading and science and she loves math and art, you can trade. There are so many different ways to get your kid what they need if you don't feel like you can teach a certain subject. Another option as your child gets older is community colleges, where you can get concurrent credit and they can go ahead and be building those hours for school.
And Amy, did you have something else to add to that?
Well, besides community colleges, there are tons of online resources that you can either get classes for free or you can pay for specific content areas. My kids right now are taking a middle school history class online during the summer. We paid for it, but thanks to COVID, it was a little discounted. But so they take it, but you can get high school credit. I don't know. Does anybody shake your head? Can you do dual credit? You could probably do dual credit with those as well, college and high school.
What are some of the places that you have personally had experience with doing classes online?
Well, some that we've taken classes from Veritas Press. We classically educate, and that's a classical school. Well-Trained Mind offers some online classes. Circe Academy offers online classes. There's one more that's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, there's a ton of fully online schools that I have friends that have done fully outsourced their education. Or you can pick and choose. A lot of them allow you to pick and choose where it can be a self-paced course. Like my kids are doing a self-paced course. They have 1 year to complete that history however we want to. But then they also offer a Zoom, you know, where you meet with your teacher once or twice a week and have class with them, with the full instructor. A lot of even the curriculums that we use, for instance, I use Matthew C for math, right? So one of the questions is, I don't know how to teach algebra. Well, I love math, but I don't personally teach algebra. It is a DVD that my kids watch. I watch with them so that I have the same terminology and the same technique as is being taught. But Mr. Demi teaches my math for me. Oh, but those are now starting to offer online classes as well, where you can actually sit in instead of having a DVD. They are beginning to have live instructors as well.
Okay, Allison, did you have something else to add to that?
Yes, when you do the online resources, be sure you know what you're signing up for. As Amy talked about her history class and it being self-paced, there are some that require you to be there certain times of the day. It may be all day and turning in work and follow up with teachers. So just, there's nothing wrong with that, but know what you're getting into, because if your goal in homeschooling is to have the freedom to move at your own pace and your own schedule, that may not be for you.
Okay, so another question that we had submitted to us was, I would love to homeschool, but I'm afraid of learning gaps. So SJ, do you have something to say to that?
Yeah, so I'm SJ, and we have two kids, an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. We've been homeschooling for 8 years now. I was very concerned about there being learning gaps when we started our homeschooling journey. And the thing that I think I would say to everybody is, there will be gaps in your child's education, no matter where they go to school. If they go to a brick and mortar school, or if you do it at home, there's going to be some gaps, because nobody walks out at 18 and knows everything there is to know. And that's not really the point of education. One of the great things about homeschooling is that you can show your children how to learn. They're always going to encounter things that they don't know, that they didn't learn. Whenever we start a new job, we are confronted with new things that we don't know how to do, but we can teach ourselves how to do them. And that's the beauty of walking alongside our kids in the educational journey, is we can say, I think we missed that. Let's take a couple of steps back and let's figure that out. Or if we're, you know, moving along at a clip and all of a sudden we hit an area that our kids just look at us with the deer in the headlights look, we can go, maybe we didn't cover that as well. Let's take a couple of weeks and let's just sit there. I know for my child, you know, we were up in, you know, upper level division, and all of a sudden it was like she didn't know how to multiply twos. And it was just this shock. And I thought, oh my goodness, I totally messed you up. Like, how do you not grasp this concept? And instead of freaking out, we just sat for 2.5 weeks and we just drilled our twos. And you know what? It was fine. She got it. We moved on. But it was a way of helping her understand, when you encounter something you don't know how to do, you teach yourself how to do it. The resources are available. So you're always going to have things and holes and gaps that you don't necessarily know. Hardly any of us become a complete master at a subject. The goal is not necessarily perfect mastery of all the subjects and all the things that a child would ever need to know, but it's helping expose them. It's, you know, education is the lighting of a fire. It's not the filling of a bucket. So we want to engage that curiosity and help them grow to love learning, so that when they do encounter something that maybe we didn't cover, they know how to go learn it for themselves.
And what a better person than a parent to see those gaps? You know, would a teacher in a brick and mortar school have noticed that maybe, you know, she was lacking in the twos department?
And even if a teacher, a well-meaning teacher, sees that, they don't have the ability to stop the class
and sit there for a few weeks. You as the parent can sit for however long you need to with your student to enable them to grasp that concept. And especially it's great because not only, you know, for covering gaps when you see them, but if you see an area that your child is especially gifted in or loves, you can explore that. You have the ability to allow them to really focus in on some areas of interest and develop some great skills along the way.
Okay, Sam, I see that you have something to add to that. What do you want to say?
I would say that the learning gaps was probably not my big concern when I was homeschooling, but family members' concerns. And so I know that they were really anxious for me to get my oldest tested kind of into his elementary years. You know, just let's just have a guideline to see where he stands with other public school kids. And so there are standardized tests available that they can mail you and you can take them at home, or you can take your child to a testing site and they will test them along with their grade level. So my oldest was in third grade, I believe, when I first tested him. And when he got his grades back, it was okay. I did realize, though, that he didn't know civic things like what tax money went to and just different things about local government and stuff. So I don't think that he has to know that in third grade, but it was nice to see that that was really the only thing that we were, in quotations, behind on, you know, with public school kids. I think those things will come as he gets older. I did take the time then to kind of explain to him and talk to him. And as we were talking and just doing life, you know, in the following weeks and months, I would bring things up and say, oh, that's where tax money goes, you know. So it was just nice to know, but I don't think it was necessary. I think it's great to have that resource. If you are worried, that you can do some standardized testing just to see where your kid falls. But don't let it discourage you if you've missed something. Either plug it in, like SJ mentioned, or just know that you're going to cover it in the next few years and don't worry about it.
That's good. Okay, so let's talk about what if you want to homeschool, but you maybe have a chronic illness or your child has a chronic illness and the implications of what that may look like. Does anybody have anything to add to that? SJ?
Yeah, my two kids both have cystic fibrosis. And then I myself have a weird illness as well. And so it can make just doing everyday things pretty difficult. One of the things that I would say is one of the best things that you can do for a child that has a chronic illness or a special medical need is to homeschool them. You can give them the flexibility to be able to care really well for those particular needs while still having the time to educate them properly and have time together as a family. One of the things that I've noticed with our kids is that our homeschool day is fitted around the rhythms of their medical treatments. So, you know, treatments that we do on a daily basis take a couple of hours. And so we look for ways that we can also accomplish something educationally at the same time. So can we be doing read alouds? Can we be doing math at the same time? So always be looking for things that you're already going to be doing anyway because of their particular needs. You know, a couple hours a day are strapped into a particular machine that helps them with breathing. Well, they're captive audience for that period of time. And so, you know, we do a lot of, you know, we do catechism questions and read aloud books and science books and things during that time when otherwise they would probably be running all over the place or working on their own individual subjects. So using the rhythms that their medical condition presents to go ahead and get some of that schoolwork done is one thing I would encourage people to do. One of the great things about homeschooling, especially if your kids have a medical need, is it gives you the flexibility to do school at a pace that works for them. So our kids have very frequent hospital stays. I can take books with us and we can work on school when they're in the hospital, or if we're in the, we're always in the doctor's office, we can take our memory work cards with us and we can talk about those things there in the waiting room. There's so many things that you can accomplish when you're in those areas that you're going to have to be in anyway. I'm not pulling my child out of a public school setting where they're going to be missing all of the afternoon. Again, kind of going back to that idea of the learning gaps, my children are going to have times when they're not able to school traditionally. They're not going to be well enough to sit at a desk and do work. I can cover that ground at a later time because I'm not on a traditional school timetable. So I think that homeschooling really does give kids with medical needs, it takes a little bit of that stress off in a lot of ways. For the parent, myself, I have a chronic illness. Doctors, even the Mayo Clinic, still doesn't quite know how to treat it. And so it's kind of always a challenge, and we're still learning about it. But one of the things that I would say that was really frustrating to me when kind of this all started to happen was I had this very clear vision of how I wanted my homeschool to be and what I wanted to cover and what I wanted it to look like. And God had different plans. And so recognizing that my end goal of raising children that know God and love people and are wanting to share Him, that hasn't changed. But how I get there may have changed. There are plenty of days when I physically, it's a struggle to move, and it's a struggle to battle the fatigue that accompanies, or the fevers that accompany my particular disease. So my kids have had to learn flexibility. So it can be something as simple as I loaded up all of the curriculum on an IKEA cart that rolls around my house, and it's me calling out, okay, girls, we're doing school in mom's bed today, roll the cart in, and we do it in there. So it doesn't have to be done at a table. It can be done from a recliner if you have to. I also think that when you have a chronic illness, you always have to be willing to ask for help, and that goes for your kids' education as well. I don't know where we've gotten this notion that because I've decided to educate my children at home, that I have to be the one that does that all, that I need to outsource stuff. I need to look at my daily life and go, where am I not going to be able to do this well? Okay, who do I know that can help me? What resource online can help me? What can my children do independently that I'm not going to necessarily have to be right next to them for? Looking at your life honestly and not saying, oh, I've got a chronic illness, I'm not going to be able to teach science experiments, so therefore I can't homeschool. That doesn't need to be the logical conclusion. The conclusion is it may look different, but it doesn't mean that I can't do it.
That was really good. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by this panel of guests. We can't wait to release the rest of this conversation next week. In the meantime, don't forget to chat with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at The Deeply Rooted Homeschool. We also have a blog where we post recaps of each episode. All of the ways to connect with us are listed in our show notes, along with links to resources we feel will help you in your journey. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.